Welcome to Saving the Dolphins. I'm your host, Dave Kinney, here, as always, with super extra special guest, Mike Mercadal.
Estamos aquí, Copa Mundial 2018.
Okay.
Okay. No, it's like World Cup action here, 2018.
The football that doesn't cause permanent brain damage.
I will say, those dudes, isn't there a thing now for like kids playing soccer to put helmets on them?
Oh, for headers?
Yeah. And I'm just like, that's a slippery slope. Just to
I say, make the ball of the concrete, make it even meaner.
Yeah. Like, play rugby, pussies, or whatever. I don't know. But, that's what's on my sports world right now, except for what was popping up for the OTAs. I'm out of the loop. So we are going to dive back in with the Miami Dolphins
deep into the Dolphin tank.
Deep into the Dolphins. I'm only expressing my love for the World Cup because I'm a Latino and they expressed to me in the meetings that I have to be more Latino.
Yeah.
So I have to address Copa Mundial. Yes. What is it? 2018.
Yeah. If you're coming to me for Spanish help, I have some bad news for you. it has been exciting. Every bar I go into has that on, and every World Cup, every time it comes around, I'm like, this is the year. This is the year that I get into soccer.
Yes.
Like every summer I try gin and I'm like, I'm like, maybe this is the summer I get into gin. And I'm like, no, it's not. Tequila it is.
I feel we would be hard. The reason I brought up, I feel we'd be hard pressed to not talk about the biggest sports thing in the world right now,
sure.
Even though we're talking about.
Agreed. Also,
but also it's one of the only times in the year where I'm like, seriously cheering for Croatia, where I'm like, come on, Croatia, come on, Slatish Glalic, come on, stupid Dolbilic.
To be fair, it would be strange to cheer for it in any other context.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just cheer for him as a country.
Come on, Croatia, increase that GDP.
Come on, you're really not pulling your weight at the UN meeting. Come Croatia, on, step up.
Super solid elections from Croatia. I do like the World Cup better than the Olympics, though. I will say that.
Yeah,
because it's pretty more. The Olympics is too convoluted. I don't care about there's too many sport. They're playing soccer. I was like, I get soccer.
Yeah,
I understand it.
And two nets, one ball. I get it.
And not every country has to participate because they didn't make it. They're not good enough. I don't want to go see the shitty. I don't want to.
Feel like you're being awful hard on America right now.
Yeah. They're not good.
That's very true.
It's a genuine meritocracy. In terms of, we did not deserve to go this year.
No, agreed. Yeah, it's probably better because I feel like every year, I mean, that has to do with why Americans don't get into soccer. If we don't get into football, the millions of listeners who listen to our podcast are going to be furious.
Yeah. I mean,
but just a heads up, this is the off season and we've got some time to fill. So there are going to be some non-football related things.
I will bring football around into this way because if you had the amount of talent, let's say on an NFL team, the NFL, if there was no NFL,
sure,
and all of the player, if all of these athletes that play in major league sports in the United States were drawn to soccer.
Yeah, I think we'd dominate.
We would be dominant. Like, it's just, there's other sports for us to play. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, in the United States, you're not brought up playing soccer as much. It's thought of as a kid's game. You know what I mean?
If you took the wide receivers, the running backs, the safeties, or especially the corners and most of the skill position players.
Yeah. I'm not going to put, Richie Incognito out there.
Exactly. He's probably not going to be great on the soccer field.
Yeah. And even then, you put LeBron James at goalie. That guy is going to be able to make some stops. You know what I mean?
Just
from sheer wingspan. You know? And I don't know. I just think that the NFL is the reason why the NFL is popular is because that's where all the peak athleticism of sports goes. You know what I mean? Like,
there's so many plays where you just look at and you're like, yeah, that's not something I could do.
In the United States, I mean.
Yeah. But then one person makes one mistake and then you lose your mind because you're like, that's something I could do.
Yeah.
How dare you? Because you're leaving out a lot of important elements. You're like, I could make that catch. You're like, oh, really? Could you make that catch if there's a 300 pound man running at you full speed?
Yeah. That ball is coming at you at 70 miles an hour. It's not thrown by your friend Craig. You know what I mean? That's not a pass.
A Nerf catch in the fucking tailgate.
Yeah, exactly.
Dickhead.
Although, in all fairness, Craig's got a dope arm.
Seriously? Give him a tryout. Give him a tryout.
Come on, Craig. You started QB. That's possible. It's yeah. He could do that.
Craig ends up getting signed before Colin Kaepernick. God damn it, NFL. I'm starting to think they're not giving him a shot.
But look, you know, Craig, hook us up with some tickets, Craig. Yeah. Come on, Craig.
Yeah, but in Craig's defense, he's like chill as fuck. Craig is like so chill.
Craig, he's an outspoken philanthropist, but it doesn't, you know, yeah. like he doesn't rub people the wrong yeah. way. He's white.
AKA, or like the more roundabout way of saying, he's like a gritty hard worker, not like some of these other players. Oh, really? Like who? I don't know. Like, I think that's always my favorite thing in sports is like the dude who's like going like roundabout racist.
Yes,
like,
of course.
Making me do the homework where I'm like, wait, oh, I just feel like someone like, you know, like a Wes Welker, Wayne Corbett, that kind of type. Kind of undersized guy who's scrappy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like there's some of these linebackers where it's like, they're just relying on their talent. But then you take someone like a Brian Urlacher or like a Zach Thomas.
You're like, I'm detecting a pattern here.
Huh. That is an interesting viewpoint.
Oh man. But yeah, like we're clearly going, you know, what is it? The word we're getting like itchy cabin fever for football. Like,
yeah, well, let's get into the football that we've seen from the OTAs. What you're about to hear is a number of just hints and rumors. They haven't even played in pads yet. So,
yes,
I'm saying all this stuff. We're going to take extremely hot takes on these issues and, all of it could prove to be incorrect.
Oh no, this is the most nebulous of concrete opinions.
Yeah.
It's the most concrete opinions based on literally zero fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you come here for. Hard-hitting, right. Inaccurate reporting.
And don't come to us in a few weeks when all of this is proven to be wrong.
Yeah.
You've been warned.
You knew what this was.
You knew what
this was. Don't play stupid.
You knew what you were getting into.
You knew what you're buying a ticket for. I mean, first exciting news. Ryan Tannehill. We went through OTA. Still two working legs.
I believe they put some sort of bionics in there. There has to be, right? Like he recovered pretty quick and they're showing I posted a little video that the Dolphins posted. It was just literally him dropping back, throwing this dope ass pass to Amendola.
Yeah.
And which it was weird to see.
Sure.
But it was like, ooh, I got super pumped. I was so excited. I was so excited.
Hating the Patriots so bad, it's going to take me at least a couple more weeks before I can associate Amendola catching the ball as a good thing.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm like, Amendola snuck in and intercepted it. I didn't even know he played defense. You're like, oh, he's with us now.
He's literally wearing one of our uniforms, Dave. Yes. He has a Dolphins jersey on.
I hate the Patriots so much. And also, I put nothing past the Patriots. If I found out, you know where I'm going with this. Look, if they're going to hide cameras, why wouldn't they just send in a dude undercover?
He's reporting back.
I mean, look, we beat them 50% of the time last season.
That is true.
I mean, I could show you a pie chart, but I think you get it.
Is there a breakdown of what players from the Patriots that went to other teams?
Yeah.
Like, did they send somebody to the Bills? Did they send somebody to the Jets? Because they could be.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they would do it in our division because they were fine.
I think when you have a team like the Patriots, you can't see, but in my room right now, there's just a wall with a bunch of faces of Patriots players with red string attaching them to different teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put nothing past them.
I did see, it was weird. I did see, I can't remember who it was, but I follow a bunch of these guys on Instagram.
Nice.
Like Godshaw and Carew.
Okay.
Leonte Carew. I follow some of these guys and someone was posting it. They were out in the club, at Live or some club or whatever like that with Amendola. And then with them was Gronk.
Yeah.
Gronk was like hanging out.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
Yeah. It made me really uncomfortable. They're like, yo, your boy crazy. He was pointing out that Gronk was like dancing and being goofy. You know,
he was being Gronk,
you know.
Bottom line, I don't like Dolphins consorting with any Patriots of any kind under any circumstances.
Understandable.
Period.
Yeah. Fuck that.
So don't like that. but I do like all the reports coming out. And look, again, we've already given you the disclaimer up front. All this subject to change. Apparently, Robert Quinn is looking super good. He's got this like crazy bend. And got him from the Rams in the offseason. I mean, this dude's a Pro Bowler. I think ever since we lost Olivier Vernon, I think that's the last time we had two strong defensive ends to compliment. We've had Cameron Wake. We had Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh really strung up the middle. Right. Having the ends like for the pass rush is really important. So I think one of the things that's going to be tricky is, I mean, so we now have Quinn and hopefully Wake can stay healthy. Charles Harris.
Don't you dare. Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you ever say anything bad. We lost him when he fucking fucked up his Achilles tendon. He came back 10 times stronger. Not.
First off, Cameron Wake is made. He bleeds motor oil. He's going to outlive all of us.
Yeah. He's an immortal. He's a fucking Highlander. That's him.
We've also got Charles Harris, who we spent the first round pick on.
Fair.
I mean, he was always a dude who was better suited to be an outside linebacker, but I mean, there's hope. But yeah, I mean, like we hope, obviously, Cameron Wake's Highlander status will. It looks like that pass rush. I mean, basically, I mean, there's no pads at this point. It's all just a bunch of dudes running around in shorts. But at this point, Robert Quinn is apparently doing really, really well. And
is it there? Because this is where they're building that all that recognition, you know, yeah. Like all of the, you know, it's weird because you are learning all that stuff based on your team's offense. Sure. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And or your team's dummy offense. If sure. They're going to be playing like practice squad shit.
Yeah.
So it's weird that they're not like maybe they're running formations that they think other people, you know, like standard practice stuff. And hopefully the reason why he's progressing is that mental game is strong.
Sure.
And then once the pads go on, it can continue. But that's really. Honestly,
yeah.
When you see the difference,
well, the physicality, like that bend that he has of turning that corner yes. so quickly. I mean, it's been a pretty good move for him.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a he's good. I'm glad we have him. You know what I mean? We needed people to be able to kind of read
sure.
offenses and react appropriately. And you can't just leave. You know, and maybe Kiko wasn't as the chosen one that we thought he was going to be, or I don't know who thought he was going to be. Chosen. Also, I mean,
there's so many times where the Dolphins. We tend to not be amazing a lot of times at choosing free agents. Mm. Like a lot of the times in the free agent market, we're signing like a Julius Thomas or like people like that who kind of underperform. I mean, it's way too early, especially at defensive end. I mean, you can't really judge that without pads being on and actual people hitting.
1,000%.
But I mean, at this point, it at least it's exciting that they may not have completely shit the bed with that. Especially, I mean, you think of all the talent that we lost in the form of like, you know, I mean, Landry.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to name it all. If you listen to this podcast, you're aware of them. But yeah, I think especially with what we lost with Sue and the other stuff, it's good news on that front. In other news, again, because it's the off season, Tannehill got a bicep tattoo of these leaves. There's a name for it. It's like the centennial leaves.
Right? No. Yes. He got a big old pot leaf on his arm.
You got a problem? Suck it.
He's a bad boy. Puts on his sunglasses, turns his cap on backwards, getting his Jeeps and drive away.
Yeah. Tie that t-shirt. Yeah. Sorry, I'm late for a fish concert. No, it's a tribute to his wife, the tattoo on his bicep, but just in general, how do you feel about the general concept, even if you're married, of the tribute tattoo to someone?
I believe that as long as it's not a name, you can always say it's something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A name. There's that bad luck with tattoos. I have a tattoo, but I don't have like a lot of tattoos. I'm not a tattoo guy.
Sure.
My dad has a bunch of tattoos and he's old school. Like the guy who does his tattoos and all stuff. These are like old school biker tattoo dudes.
Yeah.
The rule was you do not put any woman's name on your body. That was the sailor tattoo thing.
Yeah, sure.
That's why they never said a lady's name. It always said mom.
Oh yeah.
You know, it never said, you know, it says,
I mean, that is a pretty extreme thing where you're like, look, I mean, right now my mom is Helen Kenny, but like, I don't know.
No, but it was bad luck to have a woman tattoo. Cause that's when the ships would sink. Like sirens would be jealous.
What I'm saying is like writing mom instead of your mom's actual name. You're I like my mom. I don't know if I love her.
Yeah. but that's that old sailor superstition. Like if you put a symbol on your body, that's fine. I totally am okay with the tribute tattoo. I'm oddly okay with a portrait tattoo. Yeah. But that's like super hit or miss. I've seen some that like,
have you ever hooked up with someone? Have you ever hooked up with a chick who had like another dude's name tattooed on her?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Wow. No, I'm just kidding. We're both from Miami. So
it's 100%.
Yeah, it's a real choice. It's a real chance.
The odds are not against us. Anyway.
If we weren't from Miami, that would be an absurd question to even ask.
Exactly.
Be like, what kind of like Waffle House waitresses do you think I'm hooking up with? But like being from Miami, like, yeah, it could happen.
Yeah. It's happened. I will say this, it's happened one time that it bothered me where I could see it actively while we were going at it.
And it's like a tattoo of her ex-boyfriend with his arms crossed on her back. And you're like, oh, come on. It's like he's judging me this whole time.
It was on like a lower back tattoo situation. And wow. That was, it was kind of like, it didn't
it's like
bother,
a brand.
It didn't bother me the first time, but it kind of got to me the second time where I was like, oh, if this is going to be a continual thing.
Yeah, I think you're just repressing your feelings. I think it definitely bothered you the first time too.
I don't remember it bothering me the first time, but I don't remember a lot.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. It's an easy loophole. But low lighting, high alcohol.
Low lighting for sure. We'll blame it on the first time you're not really feeling around.
Yeah,
you're figuring it out.
You're feeling around. You're like, the hurtful thing is it was in Braille. Like, what is this? I feel. Oh no,
Kevin.
Yeah, you happen to speak Braille.
I did have a friend. Ooh, I did.
Or speak
friend.
Braille, you don't. Come on.
I did have a friend he was dating a girl who had a tattoo of her ex-boyfriend's gang name or like street name. Like his,
oh wow,
his, nick, his like gang nickname.
Yeah,
and it was
that's not a red flag. That's like a red torch.
Oh yeah, it
get
was
the fuck out of there.
Yeah, that was that woman was entirely composed of red flags. But it was like he told, and it was hard. I don't want to say the name. I just thought I was gonna say it, but I don't want to say it. But it was one of those like aggressively names.
No, I think that actually is that actually says more than if you said the name. The fact that you're too terrified to even say it on a small Dolphins podcast.
What if he listens?
Exactly. I'm coming for you, Mercadal.
And I don't even know him. I just know the story, and he told me the name of the guy.
You're not even the dude. You're not even the dude who fucked this girl. Your friend fucked this girl.
And I'm afraid.
And you're still yes. afraid to say the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a safe thing of like, I think I've enjoyed our time together. I feel like we're growing apart ever since I realized this definitely ends in me getting murdered.
Yep. It'll be a double murder. Cause you're going down with me, my friend.
Yeah. I've got this real fetish where I like to stay alive.
Long story short, Miami's weird. You guys, yeah. Miami is a neat place. It's you got all kinds of all people of all kinds and creeds and colors of the rainbow. And, they
brings
got
us perfectly back to football.
It brings us perfectly back to who we got coming to Miami to play football for us.
Quarterback right now we've got
but I will say I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I will say any tattoo or anything that Ryan Tannehill wants to put on his body that will mentally prepare him for a better performance, I am for it.
Yeah, I mean I will be the first to say and by all accounts in shorts at OTAs, I mean he seems to be as good or better. And the other thing too, on the Tannehill front, they apparently are still doing quarterback option shit, and apparently like speed wise,
yeah,
he still has all the speed he had before. Again, like it's with this knee shit, it's just there now that it's been an issue, now that we've missed him, like now that
dearly,
he's been,
we've missed him dearly with a terrible replacement.
I've been off the field. I didn't mean emotionally, but yeah, I guess a little bit emotionally.
Yeah, a little bit emotionally.
No,
we were traumatized by a Cutler. So
yeah, I think that there's not going to be a time where he bolts and uses his legs where I'm going to feel comfortable with that.
Yes.
Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they can say it's as repaired as they want. It's the kind of shit where it's like one cut. I mean, even if someone doesn't even hit him, one cut could like be the difference.
Yeah.
And right now the backups we have, so we brought in, Brock Osweiler,
yes.
Brock Osweiler.
But yeah, I'm sorry.
He's a dude who, that I think it was the last season that Peyton Manning was with the Broncos, came in and played really well for them. Granted, they also had like an epic defense,
right?
Which in a pretty decent running game, which kind of helped.
He had help.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of helped hide some of their deficiencies. But yeah, so he offseason, there's this bidding war. He ends up going to the Texans for a ton of money. And the Texans find out, unfortunately, he's not awesome at football. Accuracy issues.
Yep.
So we bring him in. And the thing is, I mean, Adam Gase was a quarterback coach for the Broncos when Brock Osweiler was there, even when he was like playing quote unquote well. And they went to Adam Gase, the general manager, and they were like, hey, we're thinking about bringing Brock Osweiler. Adam Gase is like, absolutely not. No fucking way. And by the way,
he's on the record.
Like, he basically, I mean, the way he implied to, first off, we didn't pay him that much money. So this isn't like, this isn't like a classic Dolphins overpay for someone who turns out to be a dud.
Yes.
But apparently, like, what Gase, he didn't openly go on and on about how shitty he thought Brock Osweiler is. What he did say is that when they came to him and said that they were going to sign Brock Osweiler, he was definitely against it and had to be talked into it. And he said that in a press conference. Like, this isn't like a leak. Like, he's open about the fact that this wasn't.
Someone didn't discover this in hidden text messages. It was, he said it to a microphone. He
didn't hack into his emails.
To a news source. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, so two part thing. Brock Osweiler is as advertised, which is a dude who is not good at accurately throwing a football, which unfortunately is a large part of the game. Mm-hmm. Apparently,
at the very least, his position.
A dude who's like really stepping up is David Fales.
Fales, man, he's the story. I think he is. He's the truth. I'm all for what. He's been showing, I'm trying to remember what I read, but like, he's been showing up, Osweiler. Yeah. He's definitely putting in his I'm number two right now. I'm second in command. If the ship goes down, you know what I mean? Like,
and that's the thing. I mean, it's Ryan Tannehill. I mean, look, I mean, you'd like to think all of it's behind him and he can move on. His recent injury history.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, so you need a good backup, and we didn't use even like a seventh round pick. I mean, even like good teams with like pretty secure quarterbacks will still take dudes in the third and fourth round.
Yeah.
Like, just if they think the talent's there.
Fail Nation, baby. Let's go Fails. I'm all for him. I want, you know, rest in peace, Matt Moore. He's dead to us. David Fails could be riding a pine with a hat and the headset on.
Matt Moore rode off.
Yeah.
Rode off into the sunset because of the lack of like NFL starts, most likely completely healthy brain.
Yep.
He's brilliant. Matt Moore.
Brilliant. Matt Moore played in the NFL for years. Probably saved a ton of money.
Yeah.
He's going to retire and live a perfectly healthy brain healthy life.
I mean, what he lost is a possible Hall of Fame career had he really applied himself. But
what does that get you when your brain is mush?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What does that get
cool,
you?
Oh, cool. A trophy. Nice. Like, I give a shit.
Yeah. Oh, I get this cool yellow jacket. How about I can remember my children's names? Yeah.
He's like, I'm not trying to make the playoffs. What? So we can play extra games? No, thanks. That sounds dangerous.
If you're a new listener to the show, there is go back and listen to our theories on Matt Moore being the best quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah.
He plays below his level because he doesn't want to get hit in the head.
Yeah. The other quarterbacks are playing checkers. Matt Moore's playing chess.
Yeah. He's next level.
Yeah.
But I do think here's what I think is one of the more exciting things. I think, because remember back before Tannehill went down with the whole knee thing, uh-huh, when we were doing really well, they started doing this no huddle offense, uh-huh, that I am a huge supporter of.
Yeah.
I was super excited to see it. I wanted to see something different from the fucking Dolphins doing the same bullshit.
Huddles are for the lazy.
Huddles are for lazy people. And they're saying that David Fales was also excelling at that.
Like,
he was
that.
Doing a good job of that. And I'm like, what? This guy, come on, man. Fail Nation, baby.
Well, so Dave Fales, I mean, David Fales was also played for the Bears. Mm-hmm. So the offensive coordinator that we brought in, which again, like, I wasn't initially crazy supportive of, because he was an offensive coordinator for the Bears, who were like, we were like one of the worst offenses in the league, but the Bears were like within two places of us.
Right.
So, but the thing is, apparently his offense is Adam Gase's offense. So this is the most simpatico offensive coordinator and Adam Gase have been. Dave Fales, because he played with the Bears, Dave Fales knows this offense like the back of his hand at this point. Like, there's no surprises in it for him. So, I mean, that's the one problem that you often have when the quarterback goes down and the backup comes in, is they know the playbook, but you're kind of worried because a lot of times, you're worried about like kind of their command of it, like how many first team snaps they have. Dave Fales is a dude who, if he was forced to be a first string quarterback, I mean, look, the one game that we saw him play, pretty solid, but I'm definitely not going to go. I mean, Matt Flynn put together an amazing game. Brock Osweiler put a bunch of like pretty good game. Brock Osweiler led the Broncos to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's anyone can put together games like pretty quickly, but I think at the very least, if he does I'm not going to say fail. I'm going to say not succeed. if he doesn't succeed, it won't be because he doesn't know the playbook.
Exactly. Yeah. And let's not beat around the bush. His name is Fails.
Yeah. Again,
it's such a good, like, underdog name.
Well, just because every other name, you look at like all the quarterbacks and it's like Joe Montana, Dan Marino,
Johnny Unitas.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good quarterback name.
Unite us. Yeah. Let's bring this team together.
I'm convinced it's like a wrestling name where they named him Johnny Unitas.
Yeah.
It's a branding thing. You get it.
Yeah, you just don't see that many times where it's like you have a really successful quarterback. I mean, like a Roethlisberger is like such an exception.
David Fails.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's got a lot working against him.
I will say Sage Rosenfels, close second.
Exactly. Like that sounds way more like, not like the star quarterback, but more like his accountant.
Yeah.
Let me run that by Sage Rosenfels. I think there might be a way to find a loophole here.
To me, that sounds like one of these Brooklyn hippie girls who sells you essential oils.
Yeah.
Sage Rosenfels.
Yeah, she's a graphic designer because her parents are rich.
Exactly.
Yeah. My real passion's my art.
But I quarterback on the weekends. I don't know. I think if we put it all together, this, again, we do this every year without Fails.
All right.
No, we do this every year.
If you're still listening to the podcast, thank you.
Unironically, we do this every year because this is where we start to drink the Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? This is where it starts to happen, where you start to see what they're putting out there is like, oh, look at all this good shit that's happening. Look at all these people excelling. But then again, it's like in a controlled environment.
Sure. I mean, the people who are not drinking the Kool-Aid is everyone else other than Dolphins fans.
Yes.
The Madden rankings came out. They put us as one of the bottom four teams in the NFL. Yeah,
no respect.
The individual players, I mean, like you have like, I think Rashad Jones and Cam Wake, they had in like the upper 80s, or I think specifically Rashad Jones, I think they had at 89. No players in the 90s on the Dolphins.
It's bullshit, man. Kenyon Drake even was.
They had Ryan Tannehill at 79, like not even like in the 80s. And it's I mean, this is definitely like one of those seasons where. There's been seasons. I mean, there was like the famous season with Dante Culpepper where the Sports Illustrated was predicting that we were going to go to the Super Bowl. No one's predicting that this season. I mean, on the bright side, if there is one, is there's no way we're going to fail to live up to expectations because
there are no expectations.
I mean, yeah, we win 7 games and I think a lot of people are going to be shocked, like on the positive side.
Yeah. Here's the thing though. As a fan of anything,
sure.
I like this position.
Yeah.
I love, look, if we were doing the movie of the Miami Dolphins,
yeah.
The cocaine things happening, all of the off the field antics.
Sure.
The any given Sunday of the Miami Dolphins, this season, last season, et cetera. I like where we are now as the, because I do think that people are sleeping on us. There's as much as I am a homer. I do think that we made the right moves the team play, building an ensemble of people who can make a difference and plugging leaks. You know what I mean? I think we're building depth. We've added too many players in some positions that will give us, you know,
we more like 10 million receivers.
Yeah. And I think that that's going to be, there's a reason for that. I think there's a method to all this madness that I hope and I believe will make a statement.
I think the offensive line seems to be improved. The dudes that they brought in, it seems like at the very least, God, I mean, the fact that guard has been an issue for so many seasons is like fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But at least hopefully that won't be the kind of turnstile it's been before. Mm-hmm. Raekwon McMillan should be healthy, which is good. Kiko Alonso, I mean, that was just such a strange thing last season.
It has to do with camaraderie, it has to do with energy, it has to do with the locker room, it has to do with all
the one thing
stuff.
I had heard in the offseason that I'd not heard during the season is the Ravens game, the same game where he put that huge hit on Flacco. Yeah. I was going to say Ryan Mallett. Ryan Mallett's the replacement they put in afterward.
Right.
No, Ryan Mallett's the dude who got choked by fucking Ndamukong Suh.
Yep.
He put the game where he put in the big hit on Flacco. I don't know if it was that specific hit or one of the other hits in the game. But what they were saying is there was a hit that he either delivered or took in that game that affected him negatively. And like, if you look at like his performance before and after that game, it's like
it dropped
off.
It's
a huge, a huge difference. And the thing is that kind of stuff, whereas it's like, if you like strain an ankle or a hamstring or something like that, I think it's way easier to kind of to try to gauge that kind of stuff versus if it's a head injury thing. But I mean, there definitely are reporters close to the Dolphins who strongly think that could have played into it.
I think it was because it's that Julius Thomas thing where like by the end of the season, he's like, yeah, I've been playing hurt for 3 months.
Sure.
It's like, why? Don't do that. You're making the team worse. You know, you're not playing up to a certain level. Get out of there.
I think
we didn't have depth in a lot of positions. So
I think with football, it's a lot harder just in that like, every player is playing hurt by the end of the season.
I think
that it's like, it's not the idea where it's like, if you're hurt, then get off the field. I mean, like everyone to some degree.
Yeah. I understand what I'm saying is extreme. Of course it is. I'm a comedian talking at a podcast. I'm talking into a microphone. I'm not an actual, I don't know. I can't relate directly.
I'm bringing in evidence, but I'm going to nail you to the wall on this.
Like, going back to the World Cup that's happening right now, Brazil, Neymar had a foot reconstruction surgery. Like he had a foot surgery and he's back out there playing.
Yeah.
He limped off the field. After that first game, he took a bunch of hits and his foot was all fucked up.
Yeah.
And then he came back to play and the announcer was like, is it right for him to want to keep playing? Granted, it's the World fucking Cup. You're going to want to be out there.
I mean, worst case scenario, just get a new foot. But yeah. Like,
I mean, they're like, you're never not going to want to play. And I completely understand that.
You always get a foot transplant.
Yeah. You just steal someone else. It's a Brazilian kid's foot. You know, I'm sure there will be children willing to donate their legs to Neymar for him to.
I was thinking that like when we were talking about like a Ryan Tannehill, like whatever stuff is like needed for his rehab. Like, first off, I'm on the record that any Dolphins players who want to take performance enhancing drugs, provided that you don't get caught and penalized for it, I 100% support that.
Yeah.
But also like any kind of alternative therapies, like if to like heal your knee, that means that you're going to need like the blood of orphans. Like, fine.
Have you heard about I heard Joe Rogan talking about like the stem cell injections that you can't do in the United States.
The shit they do in Germany. Yeah.
Yeah. They do it in like other countries and stuff like that. Is that illegal for our players to go over and do?
Peyton Manning did it.
He did it for his neck, right?
Yep.
And then he came back and it's perfectly legal, right?
Yep.
I think we should be doing a lot of that. I think we should start buying stem cells.
Kobe Bryant did it. I mean, it's a lot of the like older players. Like,
I'm going to start a GoFundMe for Ryan Tannehill's knee stem cells just to make sure, just in case
we're gonna have a stem cell drive.
It's basically just airfare and the cost of stem cells. I'll inject it myself. I don't know how it works actually.
Mike Mercadal, medical professional.
I literally just got out of work. I'm sitting here in my scrubs and I'm like,
and I'm like, he's a medical professional with questionable morals.
Yeah, I'm a mad scientist for Miami Dolphins quarterback knees.
Help me help you.
Come on, Germany. Give me some stem cells.
Yeah. Quit being such stem cell hogs.
Yeah, you guys are so stingy with them stem cells. Come on. What do I gotta do?
Trying to think the other OTA stuff.
Yeah, what do we got?
The thing is, like, it's both of us. Like, I think that it's like in the offseason especially, it's just like I feel like my brain just goes everywhere else. But like the one thing I heard, apparently last season, TJ McDonald came in, super hard hitter. Mm. Rashad Jones, goes without saying how awesome he is.
Yep.
Tricky thing is that they're kind of two of the same kind. Like both of them are dudes who are hard hitting safeties who are better when they play up closer to the line. Neither one of them really excels at being the kind of center fielder.
Deep coverage, yeah.
Yeah. Like they're neither one's like the Ed Reed type.
Yeah.
So we draft Fitzpatrick, who very much can be that dude. But apparently, at least early on, it looks like, at least in shorts without hitting, it looks like TJ McDonald and Rashad Jones have fixed like a lot of the chemistry issues. Like they've chemistry issues makes it sound like it's a soap opera.
Yeah.
It's how are they going to make it work?
It's a will they or won't they situation. Ooh,
the rose goes to. Yeah. But apparently it's like, apparently they fix their issues. The thing is, Fitzpatrick is going to have to learn. For one thing, he's just going to have to be able to catch up to the NFL speed and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got him high up in the draft. There's players who are saying he had more interceptions than anyone else at camp.
Yeah.
The thing is, I mean, what I love about this is something, this is a situation the Dolphins never, ever run into. Like, if we don't have outright shitty players starting at positions, we have like one decent dude starting at a position followed by like five dudes who should be like bagging groceries at Publix.
Right.
This is a rare situation where we have three really good safeties and cool. So we have depth. If a person gets hurt, God forbid, we have a good person to come and replace them.
Not only that, they keeps them fresh. If they need to swap in and out, you don't sacrifice the quality of player.
Yeah.
So dramatically as getting bagger grocery dude.
Yeah. And also Fitzpatrick can play nickel. I think he could be like kind of a situation like the person everyone kept comparing him to was the Honey Badger. Mm. So he also could play that role. I mean, this is such a rare position where it's like, oh, we have all this talent. What are we going to do with it all?
This is why I'm excited.
One specific position.
This is why the Adam Gase shit feels different.
Yeah.
Like the last few years have felt different because it feels like it's not like throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. It feels like they're constructing a pasta dish with specific, I don't know, the analogy fell apart. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the analogy is.
A lasagna but it feels with like, layers.
Exactly. They're making a lasagna.
Yeah.
Right.
This lasagna has depth.
It's a very thick lasagna.
You take a little bite and there's more underneath.
Full of flavor. But the idea that we like it feels like there's a strategy behind everything. And that's the one thing I've been, because now you're not worried about the weak link.
Sure.
You're worried about all the strong links just holding together in the best way.
Yeah.
It's not about scrambling. It feels like there's less uncertainty in terms of like, in terms of depth, in terms of, in terms of plan. It feels like there's more, like there's a plan, you know? Yeah. And again, if you know what happened last year, Tannehill getting hurt, there was a plan last year too, but it feels like, again, forever the optimist, it feels like a blessing kind of in disguise that we had this last season to really identify problems.
Yeah.
The problems rose to the top quickly.
I think that the problem right now, like the problems definitely rose to the top really quickly last season. Mm-hmm. I think that if this team does what we want them to do, mm-hmm. I mean, if they can win like 9 games or, you know, crossing our fit, like I think
going for 10, baby. I'm going for 10.
I think 9 is like very, very optimistic. The thing is, I mean, if we're going to win 9 games, the only way that happens is if either Fitzpatrick, Raekwon McMillan, we're going to definitely need some players to emerge and become Pro Bowl. Xavien Howard was last year at corner. There were games where he flashed as like he seemed like he was an elite corner, and then there were other games where his gambles didn't pay off and he was mm-hmm. terrible. I mean, like his player rating from game to game was all over the place. I mean, it seems by all accounts, like a lot of the people who are close to the team or even just the reporters, there's a strong belief that he could emerge as like a shutdown corner.
Right.
In the competition for the other one, you've got Cordarrelle Tankersley, Lippitt, you've got some other dudes. But the thing is, I mean, if we lost, not like we were talking earlier about Madden ratings. You take someone like Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh is a star.
Right.
You know, Jarvis Landry is a star. I mean, are they worth what they get paid to play at the other teams? I mean, you could certainly debate that. Also, from where our team
Jarvis
is.
Jarvis Landry, yes. Ndamukong Suh, probably not.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just like what my reaction is. It's like Jarvis Landry, potentially, yes.
Jarvis Landry, for the amount of money that they paid him, I will say that, like, I mean, in. Look, Dolphins famous for we never found a player we weren't willing to overpay. Mm-hmm. But when I saw the contract he signed with the Browns, there was like a little bit of a feeling of like, I'm like, I love him. He's like one of my favorite players on this team. I would sign him for literally almost any. And then I saw the contract. I'm like, you know, some contracts.
you know who is worth every penny of the big ass contract they got? Cody motherfucking Parkey. Kicker extraordinaire.
$90 million per season.
No, I what's the new guy that we got? I need to root for him now. Parkey is gone. Parkey is the past.
There was a dude that we drafted. I think it was like out of New Mexico. I don't know the other dudes from FAU.
Apparently,
they both got like gigantic legs.
Yeah.
But apparently like their accuracy wasn't like insane in college, but apparently like our special teams coach who's been around like for fucking ever, mm-hmm. pretty good at his job. He trusts his own ability enough to like find talent that he's like, it has to do with a lot of other shit other than accuracy, like leg strength and stuff like that. Like if it's small, tiny shit that I can like shit, like, and he's done it before. I mean, they're dudes we've brought in at kicker who weren't in set, necessarily lighting the world on fire in mm-hmm. college, who he's turned into professional kickers. And apparently these dudes have insane legs. Like during the OTAs, they were kicking him from like consistently from beyond 50.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean the hope, I'm not going to pretend to have any inside knowledge of how that shit works.
Welcome to Kicker Talk here on Saving the Dolphins podcast. All kickers all the time. Yeah.
Welcome to the long snap.
News on the eights. Welcome to the long.
Yeah.
I will say, from the exposure that I got, I mean, I wish I could be down there and like watching it, you know, sure. just seeing it develop. But from what I'm getting from, you know, Dolphins Twitter and all the social medias and people trying, you know, like all the shit that's coming out of it and on Instagram and following the dudes on Instagram, it feels like they think they're doing a good job.
Well, question for you. So of the new players, Fitzpatrick, obviously, I mean, we got him high in the draft. People said he was easily like a top five talent.
Yeah.
I mean, people think he is a real, he came out of Nick Saban. Obviously we hate Nick Saban. Hope he dies of cancer, but he came as a safety out of Nick Saban's system. And that's a system where the safety really has to know it extremely well.
Yeah.
He's one of Nick Saban's. My question though is of the players, Fitzpatrick, Gesicki, the huge tight end that we brought in.
Right. Right.
And also like the other people like Raekwon McMillan or Xavien Howard, who have been with the team, but really Raekwon McMillan because of injuries, Xavien Howard, who do you think is going to be the breakout star this year for the Dolphins? The dude who hasn't had a chance to fucking blow our minds, but then does.
Frank Gore, Kenyon Drake. I think that combo of running back is going to be, I feel it, but I feel Frank Gore is going to make a statement and Kenyon Drake is going to be the driving force that allows Frank Gore to be like, they're going to take turns. And I think they're going to make a huge impact. I think it's going to be, they're going to do a good, I think they're going to be infinitely better than what they're getting credit for right now. I think it's an appalling judgment from these journalists.
Sure.
Talking like saying that, you know, Kenyon Drake isn't going to be able to do the shit that he's going to do. I think it's going to be a good combo.
He led, I think it was like in the last five games, he led all running backs in yards last season.
Yeah. He's going over 1,000 yards.
But this is like,
I will say this, the tight end that we got is going to make a huge difference because I think that's one of the reasons why all that bubble screen bullshit, it wasn't working. It's going to be a fucking Julius Thomas out there. Can't get open. I think that there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of the play calling foundation that is going to rely heavily on these guys. Just, I hate to say it, but that fucking Bill Belichick, just do your fucking job. You know, like that. I think there's going to be a lot of that. That's going to come into play. And these dudes that we got, that we brought in.
Yeah.
Minka Fitzpatrick, just doing his job as part of the, I think that's the camaraderie, the team element.
Yeah.
These singular players making an impact, I think, is not going to be as big a deal. Like having one superstar player, I think, loses something in the translation of having people who are solidly backing each other up. I think that's a bigger thing.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's not, I'm bringing up Madden ratings just because it's the off season and this is where we're at. I think Kenyon Drake was like around like an 80 or something. Mm-hmm. And like, the thing is, I mean, because he was,
I think Frank Gore, but I'm telling you, man, I'm a U fan from way back. I think he's gonna.
I love how I asked you what new I named like all these rookies and second year players, and I asked like what new talent do you think is gonna emerge, and you're like 90-year-old Frank Gore. No one's heard of him to this point.
No,
but I think
90-year-old Frank Gore. But I'm talking about like the running game is gonna be something that is gonna allow us to throw to whoever. It's gonna open up the offense. I think we're. I am hopeful that the Dolphins will finally have a running game that we can lean on.
I think the biggest thing that Kenyon Drake hasn't proven is his ability to play through a full season, because he was a backup in college
and he's a backup to Jay Ajayi last year. Yeah. And I think that that's bullshit. I think they would. I think that that.
Well, it's bullshit until he proves otherwise.
Until he proves otherwise, I have faith in this in us building this running game, not because it's something I've wanted since the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, people said that about Lamar Miller. That he was like a dude who was like a speed dude who you couldn't necessarily carry a team, and he did for a few seasons. Yeah, like I think that. I mean that's certainly hope. Gesicki, I think what I'm worried about with Gesicki is that like
is that how you pronounce his name? Is it Gesicki or Gesicki?
Yeah, I think it's Gesicki.
Okay.
This is a fun thing you guys get to do in the off season is watch us slowly learn how to pronounce new players' names. One of the things that bugged me is there was this thing. He's never going to be a strong blocker as a tight end. Everyone is aware of that. I think that what's scary is, and again, this is something that is impossible to judge in shorts that you have to have pads on for.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that was unsettling was that like the this blocking shit, like not only is it bad, because I mean, he was like a primarily... He played a lot of basketball. He definitely is kind of in the Jimmy Graham mode. Mm-hmm. So again, like he's not... He's always going to be a dude who is like... catching passes first, second and third, blocking fourth if it makes the top four at all.
Right.
But the problem is like during some of these OTAs and stuff, I mean, he was making the cool catches, and which is an end zone threat. We haven't had good quarterback tight end chemistry since Charles Clay left. But the tricky thing about like Gesicki, though,
that's a sad. Good Lord,
it's been a long time.
Oh boy, that hurt my feelings.
But what hurt my feelings?
My soul a little bit.
What hurt my soul was that during the OTAs, they sent in a corner on a blitz, and Gesicki wasn't able to block a corner. Like a corner was able to like quickly disengage from the block and get around. Here's the deal: like no one's expecting him to be able to. Like solidly, like if you're blitzing a linebacker, I get that there's going to be times where he might not be able to pull that off, especially if it's a really athletic linebacker. But if you can't block a corner, you can't play tight end in the league.
But
like it's just not a thing.
But I don't think that that's, I don't think this is wild speculation. This is irresponsible speculation.
No, of course. I mean,
he
could go to training camp and fix all this shit and all this stuff for nothing.
But I will say that he has the physical ability to do it. I think that he can do it. I don't know if that's why we got him. I don't know if that, like, I believe that there is the creative offensive genius that Adam Gase is supposed to be.
Sure.
I believe there is a way to make this bubble screen thing work. I want to believe. Well, and I think that
with his offense, we're probably
shedding
not.
Blocks. I'm saying is that like a blocker shedding the defender with enough time, it does not make as much of an impact if your whole goal is yards after short catches. And if that's the case, then this guy is that guy.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
Like the problem with it at tight end is just there's, I think that you're definitely right in that, like, there's a really good chance that a lot of formations, he's not going to be on the line, that they're going to put him outside. A lot of teams have done that with tight ends and stuff. That's unsurprising. The thing is, as a tight end, though, even for teams that have those, like, kind of like skinnier Jimmy Graham types, mm-hmm. Jimmy Graham is never, he's never going to be like driving your running game with his amazing blocking.
Right.
The tricky thing, and Gesicki is also, the one thing that both the rookie tight ends, including him, and there's him who's like crazy fast and can't block for shit. And then there's the dude that we signed from Notre Dame who is crazy good at blocking, but slow as fuck with questionable hands. A lot of people compared him to
He's another lineman, though. I mean, that's what the definition of
if we could just combine them.
Exactly right.
We'd have like one good.
We got to splice them together. But I will say that it depends on. It depends on camp and how they perform, but sure. Also it depends on how they plan on utilizing the tight end. I mean, that's a big question mark right now, sure. Considering that they could not, like, think about last season, which is hard to gauge anything by last season,
sure.
Because there was so many there was a lot of duct tape on last season, man. There was so much like band-aids, so many band-aids going on.
Yeah.
And when Jay Ajayi was clamoring for more running, more plays and all this stuff. And then you look at how they didn't want to run those plays and he didn't want to block. Maybe there was some discrepancies there with, you know, Julius Thomas being a hunk of shit, you know, had quit. There was plays where we were both there. That motherfucker stopped. No whistle. No. He just quit.
Yeah.
It hit him in the back. The ball hit him in the back.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Like that's
painful.
It was painful. Imagine like a young rookie guy with immense physical talents, but that is going to get molded in a way that they use him as best possible. You know what I mean? Like it's a combination of the best fit versus like the best fit, but also a little bit of molding. You can't do 100% of the work. You have to kind of meet somewhere in the middle.
Sure.
So if that guy gets used, if Gesicki gets used for yards after the catch, a short passes, screens, essentially, you know, maybe even like a pitch, reverse running back, like where he's coming out of the backfield with it.
Yeah,
who knows how they utilize him, but he's definitely got the ability to be another running back wide receiver hybrid, which I think that the receiving tight end is going to be.
Type.
That receiving tight end where it's all pass. And maybe the block is something that would be nice.
Yeah.
But it's not a must have for what they're planning.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully they find a way to use him. Yeah.
Wild speculation.
Yeah. I think as far as like who I think is going to emerge, I think Minka Fitzpatrick seems like an obvious answer. Yeah, I mean, he's right now, I mean, for one thing, he has to get back past TJ McDonald on the depth chart. But I think that the dude that I'm hoping for the most, we've already seen stuff out of Raekwon McMillan. Xavien Howard. Raekwon mm-hmm. McMillan is the dude that we haven't seen jack shit from because he got injured before the season.
Exactly.
The thing is, I mean, he's playing at middle linebacker. We need him to not just be good, but like we need him to like really, because I mean, linebacking has been such a weakness for us. We really need him to come in and kind of light the world on fire at that position.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's good reports, but again, like especially like at middle linebacker and stuff, until the pads come on, there's no way to know. But like, I think that if this team is able to surprise people next season, it definitely is going to be because Raekwon McMillan turned out to be a good, if not great player.
Yeah. I mean, defensively,
I'm talking about like new players who we haven't seen play great before.
Like
Robert Quinn has already made a Pro Bowl, so like he's got to play great, and like Cam Wake has to play great, and Rashad Jones. But those dudes are all Pro Bowlers, so it's not like that wouldn't shock anyone if they do awesome.
Yeah, I mean, again, you want these investments or these gambles to pay off. You know what I mean? Like assigning rookies is gambling. You know, you never know. Yeah. Like again, I'm always go back to the mental thing of like how a rookie handles a especially being a Dolphin, like having like, cause a rookie that gets signed to the Patriots is living in a different world than a rookie that gets signed to the fucking Browns. You know what I mean?
And in Miami, it's like, not only are you like, you're in the NFL, you're also playing in the Miami Heat. You're also probably doing cocaine for the first time.
It's a lot of new experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and you probably got a chip on your shoulder about, you know, like you having to prove yourself because you could be the difference maker for a team that is like, you know, infamously riding a wave of mediocrity with drama constantly happening behind the scenes. Like you could be.
Yeah. If you get signed by the Patriots, you're just trying to make the team. If you get signed by the Dolphins, you're making the team.
You're making the team. And then now you have to have it depends on how you handle that kind of that type A mentality of aggressive play. You know what I mean? Like I need to be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that one thing that I saw that we haven't really talked about the wide receivers that much is Cordarrelle Tankersley says that Jakeem Grant is the hardest player on the to cover on the team.
Yeah.
I am super hopeful for Jakeem Grant.
Dave Fales. There's been apparently like a ton of, awesome throws between Dave Fales and Jakeem Grant.
Yeah.
Now again, it's
super exciting.
We've already given like the disclaimer a million times about making sweeping generalizations based on OTAs. The thing is, Jakeem Grant is outrageously fast. He is 5'6", so he is petite. Yeah.
He's very aerodynamic.
He is fast as fuck, and like he definitely can get behind defenses. Mm-hmm. I mean, the knock on him was, and it was so frustrating early in his career, is whether it was catches or punts, there were so many times where his hands just weren't there, where it's like, and the thing is, I mean, that's, you'll see that sometimes like with receivers where it's like they have the speed and like the, they run crisp routes and all that other shit, yeah, and you're like,
but they got brick hands.
Yeah, it's like sometimes like their hands, and you're like, and again, I mean, there's a handful of cases where there were players like that coming out of college, but then they were able to fix it in the pros and they were able to turn out to be great. I feel like for every one of those, there's like 100 examples of times where like, you're probably not the first coach to try to teach them to catch better.
Right. Right.
But he seems, I mean, by all reports, I mean, it seems like he has been able to kind of turn the corner and that kind of stuff, which I mean, would be great because I mean, all the help we can get at that. Cause that unit,
the one thing that always bothered me of that season that we had the Hard Knocks, right? Uh-huh. When we got rid of Hogan.
I mean, the show, I thought you were just talking about every offseason for us.
When there was a moment, and it pops up in my brain every time they talk about wide receivers or anybody anybody catching passes.
Yeah,
is that his nickname was 24/7. 7-11, because he was always open.
Oh, Chris Hogan.
Yeah, Chris Hogan. When we got rid of him, like we just threw him away. That idea of getting open,
yeah,
is your hands improve if you are open. Yeah. If you're not fighting to catch passes, you
your know hands what I mean? Have a lot work, less work to do if you're your not hands, fighting through yeah. a person to get it.
Your hands don't have to be super stellar if you're open. The passes don't even have to be incredibly accurate if you're able to shake people hard.
Yeah.
So,
and Jakeem Grant's fast as fuck, and there, it's obviously being short at receiver is a disadvantage for obvious reasons, but they're. It's the less obvious thing is that you're that low to the ground. So, I mean, you can also turn on a fucking dime in a way that like the 6 foot tall dude who's trying to defend you might not be able to stop.
And again, if my hunches are correct about this yards after catch being the goal.
Yeah.
That's the guy, you know what I mean? Sure. Like a guy who can get open and break a tackle.
Yeah.
Getting an additional whatever yards is infinitely more valuable than a guy who can maybe jump and reach and maybe get it. You know, like
no, that, 100%.
That, then that's the, if the guy's got the ball in his hands and is moving it up the field, it's much more valuable than a 60 yard pass that lands nowhere.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I am hopeful for like the tight end, the receiving tight end, the fast pace.
Sure.
That like all of the pieces coming together for me is very exciting in the style of play. Cause I love that style of play.
Sure.
I love the no huddle. I love the quick passing. I love the, like, there's nothing more fun than when you see like crossing patterns and you see the secondary not like knowing who to cover. And when they're like scrambling and you snap the ball anyway, you're like, fuck them. It's up to them to catch up. I love that. I hope that's where we're going. I hope that's what we're aiming for.
It's something that the Dolphins have been working towards so long. I remember during the Hard Knock season, like they had they were doing like two practice fields at the same time. And it was just like this like quick snap, like no snap time at all. Just like so many snaps so quickly, like holy shit. And it was like, there's so many coaches who have come in and tried to do like a no huddle fast pace offense.
Right.
And it's to this point, and look, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why that's failed. I mean, I think that it's
staffing is a big one. I think
big part of it's the offensive line.
Also true.
But also just like a quarterback who's that familiar with the playbook. I mean, that's the one thing that Tannehill, I mean, it's provided that he's able to stay on the field. I mean, he definitely, he's had plenty of time holding a clipboard. I mean, this offense, there should be no fucking surprises for him.
He better not even need to look at that shit on his fucking arm. He should just know.
Yeah.
He's had all this time to fucking have everything memorized. It should just be ingrained in him by now, unless they're doing something new. Who knows? But
I mean, this as far as I'm concerned, and I mean, Dolphins fans, we've said this a million times. People made the excuses about all the different offenses he's been in, all the different, like having no offensive line, all the everything else. Mm-hmm. This year, I mean, tight end is a little bit of a question mark just because we don't know how the rookies are going to pick it up. But a receiver, there's a billion receivers we have. His offensive line looks like he finally has protection. He's been in this offense for long enough. As far as I'm concerned, even if he gets injured, this season is how good he is at quarterback. And if he gets injured, then he's a dude who just always gets injured.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, at this point, I mean, like, you think he's suddenly going to emerge, and don't get me wrong. I've since like maybe a second season in the league, I've always said that his ceiling was Alex Smith. And I remember early on, people were like, thought that that was a shitty thing to say, but I think a lot of teams would be pretty fucking happy to have Alex Smith. I know most seasons I certainly would, especially last season.
Yep. Good Lord.
No, I mean, look, I mean, it's Alex. I think that that's what Tannehill can be. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is the season where he's got to show it.
I think if you go back to the last episode, or it was a little while ago, because there's not really much to talk about, there was that idea of, for me, it was the draft episode.
Uh-huh.
This feels like Adam Gase is finally being given the opportunity to run shit. Adam Gase feels like the first head coach in a while that is allowed to be the head coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the first time in a while that I felt like it, like, and again, this all leads to, if you put all the responsibility on the guy, the buck stops with that guy. This is his season to prove it. And yeah. I also feel the same for Tannehill.
Yeah, I think
there's been enough leeway. Like, this is Adam Gase's make it or break it year, put up or shut up. And I think it's the same for Ryan Tannehill in areas that he can't possibly control, like injury and stuff.
Yeah,
but also, this is your year.
The last coach that we've had that I feel like had this level of control, I already shit on earlier in this episode, which was Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Nick Saban was, because I mean, everything after that, I mean, Kim Cameron, it was, I'm just going to try to pretend like that season never happened.
Yeah.
And then Tony Sperano, it was a deal where it's like, he kind of is like being like kind of an extension of Bill Parcells.
Exactly.
Where it's like, I mean, he was an assistant coach for Bill Parcells, and it still kind of felt like having an assistant coach. Like, he's like,
I never felt like he was in charge of that team.
No, you kind of get the feeling like he was like the kind of shit that happens.
Substitute teacher.
Yeah. Like if the coach is like, gets like really sick or something and has to miss the game the assistant coach has to come in.
Like
it felt like seasons of that.
Like with that guy from the Colts when he got, what's his name that he got sick?
I remember Strong. It was like his last name, Strong. Chuck Strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something like
whatever.
That.
I
can't remember. Was
it Chuck Pagano?
Pagano?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, when he gets sick, that's, look, what I'm getting at is that it felt like we had a bunch of substitute teachers in here.
Yeah.
It felt like
Joe Philbin.
Yeah. He was literally the guy that.
Nice guy, which is exactly why he was terrible as a coach.
And he shows up and you're like, what? And he's the one that's like, what's your name again? He's like, oh yeah, just get up to, just do busy work. And that's what it felt like. It felt like a sub. And
picking up gum and shit.
Yeah. It totally felt like that. And this is the first head coach, and I think he's been fighting it too. I think like when he showed up, that they were going to give him the injuries, especially to your fucking starting quarterback. I think here's the thing.
Yeah.
His first season promise. We made it to, you know, fucking playoffs. We were going. And then Ryan Tannehill gets hurt. We were kind of come back. Ryan Tannehill gets hurt. This is kind of like he's kind of put all his chips on Ryan Tannehill. This is kind of up to the both of them to perform this year.
Yeah.
You know,
I 100% agree. I think his first season, he was a widely sought coaching prospect, and his first season with the Dolphins, we way overperformed. I mean, people around the league, I mean, even like the commentators, like Bill Simmons, like a lot of people were really high on him. Last season, it wasn't just that the team played so poorly. I mean, because some of the stuff, I mean, obviously like losing Tannehill and like having to go with Cutler and there was definitely plenty of stuff that was outside of his control.
Yeah.
I think what got him, there's some coach ranking that came out that like had him really, really low on the list, like in the past week. But I think that a big reason why everyone was so low on him, it's not just that great coaches can get stuck in shitty situations.
Yeah.
I think, and this is something that we on this podcast were really hard about him on him about too. It was, that's a very important difference in phrasing.
Yep.
No, I think that the one thing that we were so mad about last season is it's not just that stuff was shitty. It's that he kept the same shitty game plan that wasn't working and refused to alter it. And the thing is, I mean, and what we kept saying all last season, he's a very young coach. And like, you see a lot of situations where like Belichick was a shitty coach for the Browns before he was a much better coach with the Patriots.
Right.
Sometimes like it takes people time to learn. I think that like what you're saying, I 100% agree with, and that like, this is all his staff. Like he's got to make this shit work.
Right.
And if it doesn't,
last season, he was struggling with a big problem, like a huge gap in quarterback.
Yeah.
And he was, but it also brought
halfway through the season, we're still doing bubble screens and shit. And yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't think that shit's working.
And I think it brought to light also, but I think it also brought to light a lot of locker room problems and sure. A lot of money problems. It's like, yo, what are we doing? You know? And yeah. I think a lot of it caused, because it was his second year
sure.
before this, I think that it also, God only knows, because I'll be honest with you, I get into arguments with people at work all the time.
Sure.
And I like, well, I can't, I work in a hospital with life and death and all that stuff, but it's still just sure. a job. You know what I mean? I'm not.
My son's dying. It's just a job, lady. Just, stop
yelling. You know what
me.
I mean? But like everybody's a job. You get used to things. Sure. These guys are multi-million dollar athletes. You know, yeah. they're gambling with billions of dollars in stadium ticket sales, uh-huh. TV ratings, merchandising,
sure.
you know, like these are huge things. The pressure is on yeah. high, you know, sure. and I think that the Dolphins, it looks like,
yeah.
it feels like this guy's finally the guy.
Yeah,
this season.
And we're going to see the season.
If he's not, then we're going to.
We have milked every drop we possibly can out of these OTAs. I'm really yeah. proud of us.
We've done it. I mean, and
8 hours long podcast. Feels so good about it.
But what did we end up with? Reckless speculation.
Yeah,
that's what you come here for. That's what you're here for. And also, World Cup coverage. Los Mil 18.
As always. You got anything to plug?
Yeah, you can listen to me, my podcast at Zeros on Heroes, zerosonheroes.com. You can come, you can hear the in studio episodes where we interview people about their heroes, uh-huh. but you can also listen to the live show Unsung Heroes, which happens every Thursday at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City, Queens at 8 o'clock. So if you're yeah. in New York area, you can come out. And yeah, we just invite it's an open mic talk show, and everybody sure. just comes in, talks about the topic of the day. All the comedians that hang out at the Creek pop on, and it's a super fun show, super fun time.
Yeah.
And you can listen to it at zerosonheroes.com. And also you can follow me at Mike Mercadal on all social media.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good. If you listen to this podcast, you're probably aware of the website, savingthedolphins.com. We're also on the Twitter at Saving the Fins, PHINS. And I am on Twitter at David Kinney, KINNEY. Thanks for listening. Looking forward to next month. We're going to have training camps. So we're going to have even more things to speculate about. Thanks for listening. Fins up.
Fins up.